appreciate the Lord. Leviticus chapter number 6, we'll start in verse number 8. These are familiar scriptures. It said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. This is the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh, and shall take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." 1 Kings chapter number 18. Talking about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. We'll start in verse number 36. When you find it, say amen. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things of thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Hebrews chapter number 12. You should know this verse. 12, verse number 29. It says, "For our Lord, for our God, is a consuming fire." That's all my reading. There's a story that said of Yosemite National Park. They said that they had an event that went on for years, over 100 years. And said that spectators would come by this event. And it lasted for over 100 years. And they'd come by and see this great event take place. And what they'd do is the spectators would be down in this valley. And they'd be watching up on the mountainside. Because up on the mountainside, they'd take the bark off of some of these trees, dead bark, and they'd roll it up. And not only would they roll it up, but they'd light it up. And over a period of time, after it began to get dark a little bit, those in the valley, this was called the firefall. That's what the event was called. It was called the firefall. And those in the valley below, they'd wait, and they'd yell, "Let the fire fall!" That's what they'd cry out. And when they'd cry out, "Let the fire fall," they would push these embers off the mountainside. And it'd come down off the mountainside, and it'd hit these rocks, these jagged rocks, and those below would see it was almost like giant fireworks. And it's such a spectacle that it lasted over 100 years that this event lasted. And people would come from far and wide just to see this tourist event, how beautiful it was, and how they'd bring their kids, and they'd sit and they'd watch at the park, and they'd see this event, and the children was excited about it. Mom and Dad was excited about it. But those spectators below, their cry was, "Let the fire fall." One man, he went when he was a young man, and he said, "When I get older," he said, "I'm going to take my children to this event." And he got there, and I believe it was back in 1968 it said it ended. And it was around 68 or past that. It said he took his children to this Yosemite National Park. And as he got there, he came up to the park manager there, and he said, "We're here to see the fire fall." And the man of the park said, sir, "I'm sad to tell you, but the fire don't fall no more. That vent doesn't happen anymore." And that's what I'm going to preach tonight. I don't let the fire fall again. And that's what my title is. I didn't get to put it up here. I didn't have time to think about all that. But anyway, let the fire fall again. If there ever was a day we needed God to send a fire upon our altar, it's this day and hour we're living in. And it's an indictment upon a church or the Pentecostal church or the holiness churches that if we don't have a fire upon the altar, our young people desperately need us as elders and older people to have a fire about us. As I said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe in prayer, but I believe that you got to have a prayer that brings results. And it's got to be a fervent prayer, a fire is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Bible says in Hebrews, as I read it, God is a consuming fire. And on the day of Pentecost, we know that the tongues of fire came down upon them. I make no apologies believing that God desires to meet with His people. I believe with all my heart that God desires to send a great revival. I mean, to win souls back, to wake a nation up, to cause the people to be alarmed in this hour, to cause the people to return back unto Him. And it's going to take a fire upon the altar. It's going to take a fire in our prayer closet. The Bible says when you enter into your prayer closet, it said, shut the door behind you. And when you shut the door behind you, the Bible says that which is done in secret, you'll be rewarded openly. And we can't come to church and sit on our pew and do nothing. And if we go in an altar of prayer, if we get in a prayer closet and we shut the door and God meets with us in there, I believe there'll be results in the sanctuary. I believe there'll be results in our worship. There'll be results in our prayer life. There'll be results in our testimony. There'll be results in the joy that comes out of the heart of our people. I make no apologies. I believe in a last day revival. But I believe we're going to have to pray that God will send the fire one more time. Fire purifies. Fire will attract people. Do you believe that? You go up here, and if there's a building on fire, when Weavers was on fire, I seen on the newspaper there's people all down the streets. Were they there to get hamburgers and hot dogs? No, they were there to see the fire. That's the way it used to be in the olden days. I remember them telling me about, I believe it was Pittsburgh Holiness down there, that little church said it was on fire and said it, not physically, but the Spirit of God was moving. And they said that people would get up at the windows and look in the windows and see what was going on. And we may not have windows in this place, but I believe people will come and see us burn if we really catch on fire. They'll want to know what's going on in the sanctuary. They want to know how God's visiting His people and how God's helping us. But we must stoke the coals of revival. We must stoke the coals. Isaiah cried out in the year King Uzziah died. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and said, His train filled the temple. And the angels were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And Isaiah said, woe am I, I'm undone. He said, but take a coal from off the altar, place upon my tongue, purge me, O God. Make me clean. I don't know about you, but I believe there's still fire in the altar. I believe when people pray and when we get together as a church and we pray together and we enter into a prayer closet, I believe we can leave out on fire for God. I believe Charles Finney, I believe it was, they said Charles Finney said he'd got saved and he was a lawyer. And after he got saved, he knew that there was more than what he had. He said, I know there's got to be more than just this Christian salvation. And he was glad for that. But he said he went into his office. And when he went into his office, he sat there at his desk. And he said he had a grate. They had a fire put up inside of it. And he knelt down and began to pray. And he said he prayed and he prayed and he prayed all night long. He said, that night, he said, the fire went out of that grate. He said, but there became a fire inside of me that night. And I don't know about you, but that's the way we've got to get. That's what we must do. We must get a fire inside of our soul. We must stir ourselves. We must awaken in this hour. Rise to the occasion for such an hour as this. You come to the kingdom. We've been born for this hour. It's time to shine. But we've got to have a fire about us inside of our soul. You believe that? Eli the high priest, a sad situation there, had let the fire go out. It'd be horrible. The Bible says, ere the lamp of God went out. It'd be horrible for us not to have this word of God and it affect the world. We've got the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And we've got the truth. It's still salt. It's still light. It's still life. There's still hope in this book. There's still joy in this book. There's help for the helpless. There's hope for the hopeless. And we've got the goods. But it'd be sad for us not to take this salt out to the earth. The Bible says if the salt lost its savor, then it's thenceforth no good except to be trotted under the foot of men. I'm glad to know that we've got the truth. And the truth can set men free. Fire will illuminate. Fire will direct. It'll guide. It'll be light into your path. We don't need flickering lamps. You know what flickering lamps is? To flicker is the last stage before going out. I remember, I wrote this in my little sermon here tonight. I remember as a young man, in here in Leviticus, is talking about taking out the ashes. I remember as a young man, we had a little warm morning coal stove. Anybody know what that is? And that's what it was. Sometimes you just have warm mornings and you need cold nights. But it was a warm morning, coal stove. But my job was to take out them ashes. But we didn't have a metal bucket to carry them out in. We had an old plastic bucket. But we had a little shovel thing. We'd grate that thing out. I'd grab a hold of that thing. I believe it's called a grate. And I'd shake them old ashes out so the fire would go where it needed to. It would revive back up. And I'd go underneath them ashes, Brother Greg. And I'd bring them out, and I'd put them in that bucket. And I'd carry them outside. And by the time I got outside, I noticed that bucket looked a little strange. I got a hold of a live coal, and it was burning the side of that bucket. But I'd pour it out and scatter it out in that old mud pile there, and I'd pour it out, and dust would go everywhere. But that was my job, to take out the ashes of the past. Them ashes were no good. It's your job to take out your ashes. It's your job to get your ashes and take them old ashes of the past and the old things that's no good. Take them out and scatter them and come back and say, God, I'm ready for fresh fire. I'm ready, God, for you to do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Send down your spirit upon us, we pray. On the road of Emmaus said that But they were talking to one another, and as they were talking to one another, there was a man came by to talk to them. And as he talked with them and he left them alone, they looked at each other and they said, did not our hearts burn with us, burn within us as he talked with us? Along the way, they got in contact with the Master. I preached on one time, and it's kind of funny, I preached on one time on heartburn. Spiritual heartburn. And I ain't talking about taking antacids for it neither. But I'm talking about a serious heartburn for God. And we need that. One man said the red in the iron means the fire has entered into it. Don't let the fire dwindle down, but rekindle it. There was a man, I was telling Brother Charlie about it. Said he went to a little town and he was a healing evangelist. And as he went to this little town, he set up his tent. And he began to pray with people. And as they came by, just praying with them. One old lady came by and said, after about a week, said, why in the world haven't you got signs out like the other guys do when they come by here? Said everybody that comes by and they've got a healing campaign, they've got a sign saying, great healing campaign, miracles and so forth and so on. Said, why don't you have that? He said, because I believe the real genuine will advertise itself. You believe that? We won't have to go out and tell them that we're on fire. They'll know it. They'll know it when you go to work. They'll know it when you meet them at the grocery store. They'll know it whenever you go knock on their door. They'll know it when you're talking to them on the phone. They'll know that something's different. They'll know that there's been a fire kindled in your heart and your soul. They'll know something changed about you. In the Olympics, they've got this torch they carry, and they pass it off. After they run so many miles, they pass to the next runner. We're living in an hour and day, and I believe that torch has been, it's been passed off. But I don't want to pass a torch off that has no fire, that has no flame, that has no substance. But I believe the next generation ought to know that we believe that God sends fire, that God still meets with his people in the altar, that God still touches and saves and sanctifies and makes holy. William Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army, his favorite song. The song and their motto was, "Send the fire, thou Christ of cleansing, burning flame. Send the fire. This fire we need, the fire we plead, send the fire. Thou Christ of cleansing, burning flame." Said it'll make us fit to live or die. Send the fire. Let the fire fall again. Oh, that we would get serious about this matter. Oh, that we'd open our eyes and say, "God, I don't want it to dwindle down. I don't want to be the generation that loses what God's gave us." There's been other generations behind us that have carried the torch. They passed it off to us. Now it's up to us for such an hour as this. It's up to you and I to do something about it. It's up to you and I. Either we're going to let it die down, or we're going to stoke the coals, and we're going to take out the ashes, and we're going to say, "I'm going to stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. I'll stand for Him. I'll claim His promises, the Lord, and we'll walk together. Stand for Him. The Christ of cleansing, burning flame. Send the fire. Send the fire." They said in Scotland, there's a little town in Scotland before there was ever any matches. Said that they'd have to borrow fire off somebody else. They said one night, Brother Greg said, that whole village below, all their fires went out. And they began to search and wonder, where are we going to get a fire at? Where are we going to get a fire at? What are we going to do about this situation? Do we sit here and grow cold and freeze to death? Or what are we going to do? And they inquired and looked on the mountainside, and somebody saw that that man on the hillside still had a fire going. So they endeavored to climb up that mountain and bring back a coal and fan that coal until it became a flame, and then pass it off to another neighbor, then pass it off to another neighbor. And then by the whole time, the whole village was lit back up. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of lights that looks like have went out. But there's still a few that still got a light burning. And if I have to climb that mountain to get my fire, it'll be worth it. How about you? One song says, "Let the fire fall again." Pentecost is symbolized by fire. Not just a natural fire, but Bible says cloven tongues was upon them as the Lord said He would send. Send the fire, Lord, send the fire. Thou Christ of cleansing, burning flame. Send the fire. It'll make us fit, what I say, to live or die. That's serious. To make us whether we're fit to live or die. What they was meaning is, if you didn't have the fire, you probably wouldn't much count. You ain't much salt without a fire. But I want to affect people in the right way. I want to cause people to see. I don't want them to see me, but I want them to see Him inside me. I want to have the burning inside of me that it reflects back Christ. Send a fire, God. Send the fire. We plead, send the fire. The Bible says He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How about that? God still moves. God still moves. He doesn't sleep, nor does He slumber. The five foolish virgins went out with no oil in their lamp. But it wasn't just that they didn't have oil. If they didn't have oil, they had no fire. And without a fire, they was walking in darkness. Without a fire, they had no direction for their path. Without a fire, they had no illumination. They wasn't helping nobody. Groping in darkness, the Bible says. But we have a light. We have this lively hope. As He cried, "Take a coal from off the altar, Lord. Place upon my tongue. Purge me, O God. Send the fire. Let the fire fall again." There's been a lot of churches say, "We've had enough of that." A lot of churches say, "We've heard that for years and years about fire at Pentecost. We don't need that." But if there ever was an hour, we needed it. Men burning for God. Men that has a burden for the lost. A passion that can't be quenched. A zeal that can't be stopped. John Bunyan, they put him in prison for preaching the gospel. And they asked him, said, John, said, what would you do if we let you out tomorrow? You know what he said? He said, I'll be back out preaching the gospel tomorrow. God, would you hear our prayer? We need a Holy Ghost fire among us. Would you let the fire fall again? Not just to be a spectacle. Not just to say our church is on fire. But that we might win some soul. That we might have a light to carry out to this dark world. There was a man came when I was a younger boy down by the house, and he was a drunk man. And he came staggering through the woods. He didn't know which way to go. But we didn't really want him on our property. And I got him by the arm, and I said, James, I said, it's up that way. And the only way I could really point him to where he needed to go, there was a light on the hillside. I said, if you'll go toward that light, I said, you'll make it home. And I got him by the arm, we walked through the snow, and I said, on up the hillside, it's where you belong. And I don't know about you, but I feel like that God still got a guiding light. There's a searchlight going on for men's hearts and men's souls. And the old song says about the lighthouse. I believe the church should still be the lighthouse. And in this world, there's all kinds of turbulence. There's all kinds of rocks. And there's all kinds of danger out on life's sea. But the church must be such a lighthouse that we would show them this is the way. Come in. You don't have to stay out there. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to die in your sin. You don't have to continue in that way. You can come in because the church is a haven of rest. Because the church has still got the lights on. And I ain't just talking about these lights. There used to be a song they sung years ago. Let the lower lights keep burning. Let them keep burning. We must let them keep burning. But we let the oil get low. If we let joy get low, it's going to go out on us. And we're going to be held accountable. And I don't want nobody's blood upon my hands. If we cease to warn the wicked of their way, the Bible says their blood will be upon our hands. Lord, let the fire fall again. Send the fire. Send the fire, thou Christ of cleansing, burning flame. He'll cleanse you, and he'll put a burning inside your heart. He'll take an old boy out of Pittsburgh, Kentucky, and wash him white as snow. I'm nothing without him. He'll look across a railroad track and send a Carl Hacker by and pick up five kids. And bring them in, and through all that, use one of them. He could have used all of them if he wanted to, but there was some that didn't want to be used. But I'm glad that there's still a light in this dark, dreary land. We must stoke the coals. What if your fire has dwindled down? It'd be a good night to not come around this altar and say, God, I need lit back up again. God, would you send a fire upon my altar? Would you send a fire in my prayer closet? Don't just let me go in that prayer closet and shut the door and nothing happened. But when I enter into that prayer closet, God, I want to meet with you. And when I come out of it, when Moses went up to the mountainside, and when he came back down, big difference between that man. When he came down, the Bible says his face began to glow and shine. I preach a message on one time. Where'd your glow go? There was a time you had a glow about you. There was a radiance about you. But where'd our glow go? We ain't praying like we need to. I admit it. We ain't serious about this matter as we need to. I admit it. We must be serious. We must arise to the occasion. We must work while yet day. There's a darkness upon the land. And if the church is the only answer, the only hope they have. Christ is the answer, but the only hope for this world is if the church keeps a fire burning. Lord, let the fire fall again. Somebody come on the altar. I didn't really imagine when I was a young man that it really meant much, me carrying them ashes out. Didn't look like a prestigious job. Seemed like I got all them great jobs like that. I got to bury the animals when they died. Went to bury one time, a neighbor called me. She said, come over here and bury my dog. Said, it died on me. I got over and I dug the hole. Worked and labored and dug the hole. I looked over and that dog stood up. I said, well, just lost him. I told her, I said, your dog ain't dead. It's alive. But the church ain't dead. It's still alive. It ain't time to bury it. It's time to rise. Stand to thy feet. The Lord hath need of thee. He's appeared unto thee for a reason. He's called you for an errand. He's looking for men. Come. He's looking for those that will stand in the gap and make up a hedge. He's looking for those that say, here am I, Lord. Send me. But if we go without a fire, we're going in vain. The only way He could ever use you properly is with that fire in that heart of your stoke, that old warm morning coal stove. I looked it up yesterday, and I looked at that picture of that thing, and I thought, wow, that thing brings back so much memories. I remember being under that little hillside where we lived at, Sister Luena, and we had one of them, and it had little lids on top of it. And you take this thing, pick the lids off. Mom would cook on that sometimes. It was necessary for me to take them ashes out if I was going to live, if I was going to eat, if we was going to survive. Sure, there was cold nights, but like I said, there was also some warm mornings. But in order to take them things out, it wasn't too hard of a job. Pretty simple. I didn't have to get a manual out and read it. Nowadays, you'd have to get online to figure that out. You don't have to do that. It's simple. When we come down to an altar, ask God, check my hearth out, God. Is my hearth, does it have a fire in it? Is there still a live coal? Am I burning the way I once was? Or has my flame got a little bit dwindled down? Is my flame flickering? Am I on the verge of missing out? You say, it can't happen to me. Had a friend just the other day, preacher friend, heard the news. He had backslid. Ever since I heard that, it gripped my heart. How did this happen? Did this happen overnight? No. Little by little, neglecting the altar. Little by little, leaving the Bible on the shelf. Little by little, not coming to the house of God when I need to. And I know there's some watching. And if you're watching and you can be here, you should be here. Shame on you. But if you can't, God bless you. The Lord can help you. But what we must do as a church, God, would you let the fire fall again? It's not my brother. It's not my sister, Lord. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I don't need a new song. I don't need a new church. I don't need another padded pew. We don't need another piano player. What we need is to build a fire and fan the flames. Not just a passing ember, but one this world can't contain. They're watching us. We are written epistles, read of men daily. They can read you. They know when you're up, and they know when you're down. They know whether you got the goods or not. There's a boy, I don't know why I'm saying this, a boy I used to work with. He's no longer working with us, but he was an apostolic boy, and he'd come in with such a horrible attitude. And people said, "What in the world's wrong with him?" And I just kind of, they said, "Ain't he a Christian?" I'm not kind of back off and just let them make that assumption. But I tried my best to present Christ to them. If something goes bad, I try to say, "Hallelujah, God's going to work it out." Anybody need a fire experience? Anybody need to stoke the coals tonight? Can we find this place of prayer in this altar tonight? God, would you stir the coals in my heart one more time? God, it's not burning the way it used to. And it's not your fault, God. God has sufficient enough. God, it's me. It's my need. I need you. Send the fire one more time, God.